my moderating duties. I'll give the official introduction. This is Rick Hine from Greenpeace and Tom McQuiston from the United Steelworkers Tony Mazzocchi Center. And next we have Anna Fenley from the United Steelworkers.
Great. Your program book says that Mike Wright would be here to give this presentation. Unfortunately, Mike could not be here, so hopefully I will do it justice. I'm here today to tell you about a recent story case of a potentially catastrophic disaster and a labor dispute. So I have nothing to disclose. Honeywell, many of you have heard of Honeywell. It's a major employer in this country. We represent workers at a number of their facilities here. This particular one is located in Metropolis, Illinois, which is just across the river from Kentucky. It's a location that converts uranium to UF6, which is critical in the nuclear process. There are only six locations in the world that do this work. This is the only one in the United States. It's the second largest in the world. And as you can see, this is a very small part of Honeywell's portfolio. So our local union there has 228 members who run the facility. We were in bargaining with the company, and they locked out our members on June 28th of 2010. The NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, halted production at the facility. This is a very specialized operation. The NRC did not believe at the time that temporary replacement workers were qualified to run the facility safely. However, they did allow them to start up operations again in September. These temporary replacement workers were supposedly trained and tested prior to being able to run the facility. So at that time, we were already working on a campaign to get our members back to work and go back to the bargaining table, but we recognized that this was an enormous threat to the replacement workers in the facility and the surrounding community, both Illinois and Kentucky. So Rick and Tom actually gave a great introduction talking about some of the chemical hazards at refineries. This facility has some similar situations. Just to highlight six of the most dangerous chemicals they have on site. Hydrofluoric acid. Tom just mentioned that refineries in the United States sometimes have up to 500,000 pounds. This Honeywell facility reports that they have over 1 million pounds on site at any given time. Uranium hexafluoride, which is the primary product, highly radioactive. Fluorine, as many of you know, it's explosive, highly reactive. They report up to 20,000 pounds on site. Sulfuric acid, potassium hydroxide, and ammonia, which they report having nearly 300,000 pounds on site. So just from this brief description, you can see that if something were to happen, you know, these chemicals are all highly reactive, explosive. A couple of them produce poisonous gas in a fire. This was a map that we did. This is a 25-mile radius. There are 128,000 residents that would be affected in this radius if just 16% of the HF on site were released. Just 16%. So one of the things that we focused on in our campaign was some rail cars that Honeywell had outside the fence line containing HF. This is kind of a crude diagram, but I wanted you to get the picture of what I'm talking about here. So this is a road leading into the plant. This is the driveway. The fence line is this black line here. This is the facility and parking. These two rail lines are outside of the fence line. One is an active rail line. The other is a spur. For many years, Honeywell has been parking rail cars on that spur outside the fence line. Here's a photo. When the lockout was going on and the replacement workers were in the site, the company wasn't able to produce product as quickly as they did when our members were working in there. During the lockout, as many as 7 full HF tank cars were sitting outside the fence line. This is just a picture of 2 of them. So we talked a lot to the government to try to figure out what can we do about this. And this was a real challenge. Part of this facility is regulated by the NRC, which, as Rick said, there are some exemptions for facilities under CFATS. So Homeland Security, who, you know, does CFATS, said, well, this is an NRC facility, so they have an exemption. And they said, well, it's a rail line, so maybe it's TSA. And TSA said, well, it's not an active rail line, it's a spur. So we're not sure if we can do anything. So you can imagine, we were running from office to office in DC here, trying to get someone to help us. TSA did send a couple of inspectors out. They didn't find anything that they could really do anything about. Honeywell did place armed guards in a pickup truck outside by the cars. But as you could see from the diagram in the picture, if someone lost control of their car on the road, or there was, you know, for some reason a stray bullet, or there was actually during the lockout someone who escaped from a local penitentiary running around the area. You know, there are any number of situations where that could have been catastrophic in that situation. Another health and safety concern that we worked on getting the word out about were these temporary replacement workers. They were inexperienced. There was almost no way that they would have the experience to run this facility. There are only 6 in the world, no other facilities like this in the United States. They also didn't have ties to the safety of the community. The company who provided these temps was located in New Orleans. They bused in these workers. You know, they lived within the fence line. They also didn't have union protections. A union is really important for workers to be able to speak up about health and safety concerns. These workers didn't have that. And in November, Honeywell was cited for illegally coaching these temporary replacement workers on the exams that they had to pass in order to run the facility. The description of kind of what happened is that you know, they would get confused taking the exams, and so they would be coached a little bit. Also, some of them who had yet to be tested were allowed in the room while others were being tested. During the lockout, we had 2 near misses that could have been awful. On September 5th, which was just after the temporary workforce started running the facility, hydrogen and fluorine were accidentally recombined. It caused an explosion, shook the ground. In initial local news reports, Honeywell was reported as saying it was routine, nothing to worry about. And then the second one in December, HF was released. They have a sprinkler system, a mitigation system, that puts water to keep the cloud from moving out. However, it did burn the leaves off a number of trees. And Honeywell said it was small, but the leak went on for nearly 2 hours. It's unclear how much HF was released, but it, you know, another near miss, it could have been much worse. So a couple other health and safety concerns that went on during the lockout. One of the things that we requested OSHA do is do a PSM inspection. Honeywell initially denied both local and international union reps the right to accompany the inspectors. 17 citations were issued. Right now, the settlement process is going on, so that's still in the works. And then EPA is involved as well. They did an RMP inspection in May. We have not received reports from that inspection yet. Honeywell was also fined $11.8 million in March for illegal storage of hazardous waste. This fine comes from several years ago when they were inspected. The local union knew about this. The local union had actually told the company prior to the EPA inspection that this is wrong, you could get in trouble for this, you know, you need to do something about this. And they never did, and they were cited. So we did a number of things during the campaign. This is a short list of some of the things we did to prepare for, you know, the event of a disaster. We worked with the local emergency responders to give them some site-specific training to talk about what is in the facility, where it is, and what the effects could be. We did training for our members in anticipation of their return to the plant. You know, they have annual training that they have to go through, so we tried to keep them up with that. The local union held town hall meetings to discuss the health and safety issues of having temporary replacement workers in the facility. They also webcast these so that folks around the country could watch them. And we worked constantly with local, state, and national government to try to get our members back in. We released this report last January. It's where, you know, I pulled some of this information. You can find it on the USW webpage, usw.org, and I guess just search communities at risk. It details some of the hazards in the facility. And so the lockout ended August 2nd. Our members did have to go through quite a bit of retraining to receive their annual certifications. So they have all returned to work now. Obviously, some of these health and safety issues are ongoing. We're still working with the local and trying to work with the company to protect both our members and the surrounding community.
So. Great. Thank you so much.